Isaiah, the sixth chapter. I'm excited this morning about the word. I've just done a lot of praying. How many of you know that we're in some troublesome times now? We're living through some very difficult times. And Isaiah could understand that during this time in his ministry. And so beginning with the first verse of the sixth chapter, I want to say to you, too, that most of you know, I went through open heart surgery 7 weeks ago, so I'm pretty weak in my chest this morning, so be praying for me. Okay, first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried to the to another one, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, this is Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Also, this is Isaiah. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Here am I. Send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes that they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and return and be healed.' And then I said, 'Lord, how long?' And then he answered, 'Until the cities are laid waste and without habitation, and the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, but yet a tenth will be in it, and I will return for consuming.'" How many of you know that God's going to have a remnant? God will always have a remnant. He always saves people for himself. God's going to have a remnant. As a terebinth tree or as a oak whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be this stump. In the year Isaiah is talking about, in this time that he is about to minister to us, some 8,000 years later, about some 4,500 years later, he was going to minister a word that was going to be prevalent to us today. God was going to reveal something to him that we would need today to get us through. He said, in the year that Uzziah died, in the year that the king died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, see, following King Uzziah's death, Isaiah went into the temple. And the reason he went into the temple was because he was disturbed about the future of Israel, the future of the church, of what they knew as the church. He was concerned about it. They were going through difficult times, and he was looking for direction for them during that time. He was very concerned about the future. How many of you know that if you've been watching the TV, or if you've been living in the past few months, it's time for us to get concerned about our future. I mean, I don't care. I mean, you know, you could be half asleep or completely asleep and half dead. You realize we are facing troublesome times. It's time that we get concerned. And I believe that we need to take a lesson from Isaiah here. Isaiah did not go to the politicians, and Isaiah did not go to the media, and Isaiah did not return to the things of this world, but Isaiah headed for the church house.
Amen.
Our answer is going to come from God.
Amen.
It's not going to come from any other place. And Isaiah said, I've got to get to where I can hear from God. I need to get into His presence. I need to get to where I can get some comfort about what's going on in my world today. And little did he realize that he would be ministering to people like you and I that are going through the very same things. And I want you to know that as he ministered, he found himself in a place that was called the temple. And there he saw God. And when he saw him, he was high and lifted up, and he recognized that everything in that temple God touched, because his train filled the temple. And a bit later on, we're going to talk about how what his train didn't touch, his smoke did.
Yes.
So he went into this temple. And as he began to seek the face of God and the power of God, he recognized that God was the ultimate supreme being. And he knew that if there was an answer to be found, he was going to find it in God. And he went to that place that God dwelled. How many of you know it's important as to where we search for God? We need to be able to get into a place. We need to have a certain place that we can go to and get into that secret place with God that no one can begin to interfere with our minds, and we won't hear with our ears and see with our mouth, but we will know that God is speaking to us, and we'll be able to recognize the fact that He is a supreme God and He's above everything. And no matter what you and I are facing today, God is still in control.
Yes.
God is in control of not only this nation, but God is in control of your life. And He loves you enough that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that He would be crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, that you and I could have eternal life. He's not going to take us this far and put us down. How many of you remember the story of Samson when he killed the 1,000 people, and he was about to thirst to death, and he just laid on the ground? He laid down and he said, Lord, is this it? I mean, have you brought me this far and leave me here to die?
Yes.
And then an old dry bone laying there within his reach.
Yes.
And all of a sudden water, fresh, cool water began to flow of an old dried up bone. Let me tell you, God is sufficient.
Yes.
No matter what you're facing today, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going to go through, don't you ever be concerned that God is first, that God is not with you, and secondly, that He cannot perform that which He said that He would do. I don't know about you, but I'm believing today that regardless of what the world does, regardless of the decisions that is made as far as our country is concerned, I'm not looking to a president. I'm not looking to a king. I'm looking for the King of Kings to be able to overcome every power that the enemy has placed in our path. He went to the temple, and he recognized that he needed direction in his life. And he knew that the only way that he was going to get the proper direction was to experience God. Church, we need to experience God this morning. We need a good, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled experience with an almighty God. One that can overcome every attack that the enemy has for our church, for his church. There are times in our lives that just hearing about God and what he's done in the past and what he may do in the future is not enough. I don't know how that I could explain this any more clear to you this morning. We cannot depend on the prayers of our forefathers, of our mothers and fathers and our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles and all of those other people. It's going to take a real old-fashioned experience with the power of God where you and I will be able to speak those things that are not as though they were. You know, I don't need to hear about his power this morning, and neither do you, what he has done. I need to experience his power. I don't need for someone to tell me that Jesus Christ will bring me peace. I need to experience his peace. I don't need for you to tell me everything's going to be all right because God is in control. I need to experience his control. Until you experience it, you'll never really understand it. You must experience it. It's like someone trying to teach or preach about salvation and never experiencing it. It's like someone trying to teach or preach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit without ever experiencing it. You just are unable to do that. We need to experience God today like we've never experienced him before. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to get in his presence and understand that his train is filling the temple and you and I are part of that temple that he's filled. I want you to look at someone and say, you are the temple. And you need to allow God to fill you. You need to allow his train to fill every bit of you. You are the temple of God. And you need to recognize that if God's going to fill the temple today, if God's going to fill the church today, God's going to have to fill the people of the church today.
Amen.
Isaiah worshiped God, and as he worshiped God, God revealed himself to Isaiah. You know, we'd like to talk about hearing from God, and we do pray hoping we do hear from God and how we need to show, how God needs to show himself alive in our circumstances and in our situations. And there's not a person sitting in this building this morning, regardless of how old or how small you are, there's not one person in here that hasn't needed to experience God at some time in your life. You've needed to, you may not have even known it. But you've needed to experience him. We talk about hearing from him and how we need God to show himself alive in our situation. And I've learned from studying the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these other guys of the Old Testament that I revere very much. I've learned from them that if we want God to reveal himself to us, then we need to start worshiping him. Let me tell you, God sees every tear that falls out of your eyes.
Amen.
But if you want to move God, you start worshiping him.
Yes.
You start worshiping him. Yes. I promise you, God is going to pay attention to worship.
Yes.
God is going to know your heart, and God's going to pay attention to worship. And we have gotten to a place in the church that we're too good to worship him. Because we are so afraid that we're going to offend someone else that we get ourselves in a place that we don't want to worship him. I don't know about you, but I thought about this, especially about 7 weeks ago.
Amen.
And I thought when they were going to put me to sleep, I may never come out of that.
Amen.
How many of you know I made sure everything was all right?
Amen.
I promise you.
Yes.
I promise you. But I can also promise you this, that the last thing that came out of my mouth was a worship.
Yes.
The last thing that came out of my mouth was a worship. And I remember thinking, and the anesthesiologist was telling me they're going to put me to sleep in about 45 seconds at that time. He said, you got a little less than a minute. He says, just want to tell you that, Pastor. I said, okay, thank you. And I guess he was thinking, if I needed to pray, this was a good time. But what he didn't know of, if I had waited till then, oh no, I had already done my praying. Are you with me? I'll be very honest. I understand that what a worship is, and I just know in my spirit the thing that awakened heaven to me at that particular moment was to worship.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, Lord, I'm worshiping you on this side.
Come on now.
But if I don't come out,
yes,
I'm going to still be worshiping you,
yes,
and I'm going to worship you, yes, on the other side.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I just know that we're living in a time that we need to put everything aside. We don't need to worry about what other people think of us. We don't need to worry about what the world thinks of us. We need to unite ourselves together in a spirit of unity, grab a hold, lock arms, tell the devil, we're going to march through this thing, and when we come out on the other side, God is going to give us the victory. And we're going to worship him all the way through it.
Yes.
But we're going to start worshiping him now. And we're going to worship him all the way through it.
Yes.
There's different kinds of worship. How many of you know that the beginning of all worship is what we call prayer?
Yes.
Or what we would say is communication.
Yes.
That's the beginning of all worship. You can't worship without prayer. When you begin to understand the power of prayer and how that God responds to his people calling on him, you will be able to understand that the reason the disciples, the apostles, when Jesus told them he was about to go away, and was there anything they wanted him to do? And all they said was, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Jesus began to teach them. He said, when you pray this way.
Yes.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallelujah. Yes. We know what it is. Our Father who is in heaven, holy are you.
Yes.
Listen, that's worship.
Yes.
That is so worship, it's unreal. We don't realize, but we were created for worship.
Yes.
Oh, listen. How many of you agree with me this morning that you were created for worship? That's what the Bible tells you. I'm not telling you that. The Bible tells you you were created to worship him. Why are we ashamed of it? Why are we ashamed of doing what we were created to do? I'm telling you, it's all about priorities. I heard one time that that people would rather please man than they had God. You're more concerned about what man thinks of you than what God thinks of you. That's the reason you do things in secret. Because God sees you, but that don't bother you. But you do it in secret where man, come on.
Yes.
I'm preaching now.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know I am. See, we do these things because we don't want man to know what we do. We're more afraid of we'll displease man than we are God.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that we need to change our way of thinking.
Amen.
We need to not see with our eyes or hear with our ears. We need to understand with our heart, and we need to recognize the fact that we are created in his image, and we are to worship the one that created us. And so I just want to tell you, and I just serve you notice that from now on, if God lays a worship on my heart, I'm going to worship him. And I hope that if it doesn't offend you, but if it does, I can't help it. All you need to do is lay where I've lain, walk where I've walked, and heard what I've heard, and you won't care what people say. You will worship him with everything in you, and his anointing will flow over you. You were created to worship him. Jesus and Matthew talking about praying. You know, you just start out calling him Father. Yeah. Call him Daddy. Whatever you feel comfortable doing. Just start out just worshiping. And then tell him how holy he is. Yeah. Listen, you want to get his attention. Just recognize the fact that God loves you. And he loves for you to love him. He saw God and he was on this throne. I love this. He saw God. He was on this throne. And his train filled the temple. But the most important thing, he saw him on the throne. Why is that important? When you go back in Isaiah's time and you understand that Isaiah had an empty throne on his mind. I mean, the king had died. The man that had befriended him and Israel was gone. And the throne that he sat on was empty. So he saw God sitting on a throne. And so when he saw him sitting on this throne, it was emblematical to his spirit that he saw him as the supreme God. Because when you occupied the throne, no matter what you said happened, someone had to make it happen. You, just by speaking, you gave orders. And he saw the supreme God sitting on a throne, and he recognized that all he had to do is speak it, and it's going to happen. Isaiah had an empty throne on his mind, and the king was dead. But when he got into the house of God, he saw another throne. And the throne that he saw in the house of God was occupied by the God of the whole earth. Yes. When he got into the house of God, he looked and he beheld this throne, and sitting on that throne was God himself. I often wondered why God showed him in this vision that he was having the throne first. And him sitting on the throne. How many of you know that he saw this because God needed to stabilize him? Everything was turned upside down in his life. Not just the people that whom he loved, but the man who had befriended him and Israel was dead. And a new person had taken over the land as king, and he did not have favor with him, and he was uncertain about what was going to happen next. You know, I've never really understood stabilization or uncertainty till recently. When you are unstable, the Bible says that a double-minded person is what? And all things. How do we get stabilized? Look at me. Look at me, church. Yes. You cannot stabilize yourself. Amen. You're too fickle.
Yes. Yes.
Because right now you want one thing and 30 minutes later you're going to want another.
Yes.
And wonder why you don't have it. You cannot stabilize yourself. You just think this world is in a mess right now.
Amen.
But if we all could stabilize ourselves, this place would be in a mess.
Woo.
Could you imagine Lord, help me here now.
Yes.
Could you possibly imagine Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton locked up in one room and both of them trying to stabilize the other? We need help.
Yes.
And we're not going to find the help in the world.
Amen.
We're not going to find the help in an election.
Yes.
We're not going to find help in the things that are happening right now. And I encourage you. I want you to go and I want you to vote. But I don't want the media to make up your mind. I want you to hear from God. And I want God to speak to your spirit. And when God speaks to your spirit by the Holy Ghost, then you vote your conscience. So he needed stabilizing. How many of you ever needed stabilizing? Well, let me ask a different question. How many of you needed stabilizing within the last 24 hours? I have learned that I'll freak out on you pretty quickly. Not intentionally, but it just happens. So I recognize that I'm fickle too. And I'm kind of like Isaiah. I'm a fickle person speaking and living in the midst of a fickle people. But really, I'm not all that fickle. I just need stabilizing. I just need for God to come into my life and stabilize me. I'm telling you, when God brings the stabilizing power of His Holy Spirit into your life, I don't care what you're facing or what you're about to go through, you're going to have a peace that passes all understanding, and God's going to be able to minister to you. We just need to experience God. You know, I've learned that when we get stabilized, we get bold. See, like Isaiah, once God stabilized him, he got bold.
That's a good word.
He got real bold once he was stabilized. You know, an unstable person is never bold because they're afraid what they're going to say is wrong.
That's right.
Or they're afraid what they're going to say nobody's going to believe.
Yeah.
An unstable person is not going to be bold. But once Isaiah was stabilized, he got bold. How many of you know the Bible tells us that we're to pray for holy boldness? Don't pray for stupidity. But we're to pray for holy boldness. We need holy boldness. And you will never get holy boldness until you're stabilized. God's not going to give an unstable person the power to speak and it be received. How many of you remember what Jesus said about John the Baptizer in Matthew 7, verse 11? He said, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A man clothed in soft raiment? They live in king's houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet? And I say unto you, yes, and even more than a prophet.
Right.
Listen, when we get stabilized, and God gives us the boldness, we're not going to be offensive. We're going to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Isaiah saw him as a sovereign God that was in control of the whole earth. He was on the throne and he was in control of the whole earth. I know I've been out of control and you've been out of control. And when I talk about control, I'm not talking about being out of control of your faculties. God doesn't want you out of control of your faculties. I've heard people say, and especially in the old Pentecostal movement, how I was just sitting there and I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I'm running down the aisle. I'm doing, no. No, that really didn't happen. You wanted to do that, and you were very much aware of it. Why are you ashamed of it? It's a worship to you. Come on.
That's right.
It's a worship to you. Don't be ashamed of your worship. I'm not talking about that kind of out of control. I'm not talking about not being able to control your temper. Look, watch this. I'm going to say this to you real quickly so you're going to have to get it. Your temper is your greatest asset.
Yeah.
It's when you lose it you have a problem. All right, now watch this. I'm not talking about losing your temper or allowing your anger to be out of control. What I'm talking about is giving up control.
Yeah.
Allowing God to be in control of your life. Allowing God to be in control of your tongue.
Yeah.
Allowing God to be in control of your action. Just giving it up and allowing God to be in control. I don't know about you, but I think there's a little control freak in every one of us.
Amen.
Most especially us preachers.
And
I believe that we've got to release that control to someone of greater power than ourselves. And once we release that control to God, God is able to use us far greater than we could use ourselves. Letting God have control. There's not a person in this building that doesn't need to let go of some things. And the only way you're going to be able to let go of them is give them to God. You know, we used to say, and we used to have altars in the church where they were actually mourners' benches. That's what they used to call them. We had these altars across the front. In the service, everybody just fill up the altar.
Yes.
And I've said this, just come and leave it here. How many of you ever heard that? Come and just leave it here. Leave it here. Just come. Bring all your cares and your concern here to the altar. I can remember doing just that. And every time I'd go to the altar, when I got ready to leave, I'd just pick it up and take it with me. I'd bring it back with me next Sunday.
Yeah.
Bring it to the altar again. And it's time that we give that up and we give it to God and we let God have control of it. He saw God as a God of power. The Bible says that the posts of the doors shook. That's power. Look at somebody and say, that's power. Let me tell you something. I promise you that a lot of times if you really saw the power of God, it'd push you out, not pull you in. Come on, we don't understand the power of God in the church today. I'm preaching and you're listening and God is ministering to you and all of a sudden this whole place begin to shake.
Yes.
I wouldn't have nobody preach to in 30 seconds. Y'all'd kill one another getting out the door.
Amen.
But that's a demonstration of the power of God. And he recognized that. He said, the whole place is shaking. Even the doorpost is shaking. Everything is shaking. He saw him as a God of power. And then all of a sudden, when he was trying to comprehend everything shaking around him, then the place was filled with smoke. When God gets started, the enemy can't stop him.
Amen.
Everything's shaking. God has a way of shaking the root of your problem. And I got good news for some folks in here this morning. He's going to keep shaking until you're free from it. He's not going to just shake a little bit and let it go. He's going to shake it and he's going to keep shaking until you're free from it. If you don't believe me, you go over to the book of Acts, 16th chapter, and you read about Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail in Philippi. And you know what you're going to find? Around midnight, they begin to just sort of, God, that's another story, another sermon. But around midnight, they just begin to praise the Lord, just begin to worship. And you know, they were around unbelievers. They were around unbelievers and they just began to worship and they started singing songs and just praising the Lord and just God, just blessing the Lord with everything that was in them. And all of a sudden, that jail began to shake.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And you know, it didn't shake just until Paul and Silas was free,
right.
It shook till everybody was free. Are y'all there with me?
Amen.
What in the world's wrong with the church today?
Yes.
My God, all we need is shaking.
Amen.
We need to be shook,
yes.
And we need to allow him to shake the things in our lives,
yes.
And our families and our children, and just keep on shaking,
yes.
Until there's nothing left.
Amen.
And when we get to the place that we're not ashamed, that we serve an almighty God, and he came and gave himself for us, and that's how much he loves us,
yes.
That if we don't get into that air, we will never, yes. Overcome the enemy in our age.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We're fighting a devil that the world has never fought before.
Yes.
And you know what's so sad? I told Pastor Ron, I love that guy. I told Pastor Ron, I said, you know what? I'd hate to be in your shoes, raising children,
amen.
Bringing children into this world,
yes.
Having them having to pray of what we know they're going to have to deal with.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's frightening to me.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when my children were coming up, about the worst thing that they could get into was a can of beer. But it was always when they were with the deacon's children. I can tell you that right now. Not really. But God began to shake that thing, and he kept shaking it until everyone was set free. Remember, and I thought about this when I was going over this, how that it was about midnight. Have you ever thought about why midnight? Because that's when everybody's supposed to be asleep. Remember what Elijah asked? Where's your God? Maybe he's taking a nap. Psalm 46:1 says that God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in time of trouble. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's waiting for his people to call on his name because he has a shake for you. God has a shake for you. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but God has a shake for you. And he wants to shake your problem. He wants to shake your circumstances. He wants to shake your children. He wants to shake your church. He wants to shake your job. He wants to shake your boss. God has a shaking just for you this morning if you'll reach out and get it. All right, now let me finish real quickly. He heard the voice. He saw the doorpost shaking and the house was filled with smoke. And he said, I love this. Woe is me. He felt sorry for himself. We don't do that, do we? Everything going wrong. And we say, oh, dear Jesus. Oh, how could this, if it happened to anybody, it happened to me. Listen, we've sang that song long enough. You know that deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
Yes.
Gloom, despair,
yes.
And agony on me. Woe is me, he said. Woe is me. I love this. He says, for I'm unclean, and I'm living in the midst of an unclean people. Now, in the Bible, watch this, church. In the Bible, there's no woe to a good man. The woe is to the evil. So we got to realize this is not the way God saw Isaiah. It's the way Isaiah saw Isaiah. You need to quit looking at you the way you see you.
Amen.
Are you there with me, church? You need to see you the way God has created you. And he's created you in his image. And he's called you to be one of his children. And you need to not be ashamed of who God has called you to be. Now, what's this? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And when we begin to translate that, he said, for I've sinned. That was his sin. What was his sin? Aren't you ready? This is my finish. This is my last punch. You ready for this? How did he sin? He kept quiet. He remained silent. That was his woe. That was his unclean lips. That was his sin. He had been silent. Here's a man in the presence of God having a vision of God in his temple, and he heard the seraphim praising God, and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of your glory," and he could not join in because he didn't feel worthy. Isaiah confessed his sin, and God immediately purged him of his sin. And then one of the seraphim flew, and having a live coal in his hand, he'd taken from the altar, and he touched his mouth with it. And he said, "Behold, since this has touched your lips or your mouth, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Yeah. What's this? God said, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" All of a sudden, that man that had remained silent said, "Well, here I am. Why don't you send me?"
Yes.
Here's a man that had been silent through this whole thing.
Yes.
But then he was declared, "I can do your work.
Amen.
All I need is your permission to go."
Yes.
"If you would just tell me to go, we will overcome this. Here am I. Send me, Lord." He's no longer silent. Isaiah could not join in the praise because of his unclean lips, so he had to remain silent. But after he repented and God purged him, then he loosed his lips and he said, "Here am I. Send me. I've got the word." He felt confident and he felt worthy. God said, "Go and you tell his people, keep on hearing." I'm just going to read the scripture for you so we're going to wind it up. "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and their eyes shut, so they'll not see with their eyes or hear with their ears, but they will understand with their heart." What's this, church? What's this? "And they will return to me and they'll be healed." If there was ever a time that we need to not see with our natural eyes nor hear with our natural ears, it is today. If there ever was a time that we're not to look into the natural and expect things to come from the world or from people, it is today. We need to let God speak to our heart. Church, I see something different than even Isaiah saw. I see something much different. Where Isaiah saw an empty throne that King Uzziah had occupied, I see a heavenly throne today. I see one that human being cannot occupy. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the only person worthy to sit on that throne. It's not a throne for human occupancy. It's the throne that Almighty God is going to come and reign on. And it's not a throne that can rule only one nation. It's a throne that can rule the entire world. I believe, like Isaiah, I hear my heart speaking to me, not my ears and not my mouth. I don't hear the gloom and doom of yesteryear or yesterday, but I hear a new sound coming. And it's a sound that's not coming from a palace or a White House. It's a sound that is coming from the throne room of God. And it's not saying that just black lives matter or just blue lives matter or just white lives matter. It's saying that all people matter, regardless of color, creed, or origin. It is a new sound. It's a sound like I've never heard before. It's a sound like the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make way, the kingdom of God is at hand." I'm going to preach something to you for like 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Jesus Christ is coming again. We don't hear that no more. We don't hear that. We're living like hell, expecting to go to heaven.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is coming again. And we're going to have to stand before the throne room of God. We're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as Christians.
Yes.
And we're going to have to answer. But thanks be to God, in that room, He's going to answer for us.
Amen.
For one time, He's going to tell you to keep your mouth shut if you want to make it. And let me speak for you.
Yes.
Come on, church.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is coming again.
Yes.
And in my spirit, I feel that if He doesn't come quickly, Sodom and Gomorrah will have an apology waiting.
Amen.
We're in worse shape than they ever were. Let me tell you something. You talk about, but they were supporting this and they were supporting that and they were supporting the other. Yeah, I agree with you. But let me tell you something. I never read where they were talking and discussing about transgender bathrooms. I never read where they were approving that they were doing any more than we've not already approved that it's okay to do. Listen, church, we're in a mess.
Yes.
And our hope is not in politics or politicians. Our hope is in Almighty God.
Yes.
And I'm not looking to find out who's going in the White House next month. I'm looking for Jesus to come again and deliver His people out of this world. Stand up with me. I'm out. Pastor Ron, you had to come up here and come on. He going to pray. We'll go right there and pray. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming again. And today is your choice day. Maybe you have accepted Jesus, but maybe you've kind of walked away. Maybe you have turned yourself over to Him. But maybe you've took yourself back. Maybe you have put Him in control. But maybe you took the control back. But today is your choice day. Today you're going to be able to say, I'm going to see God as my supreme being. And no matter what I face, I'm going to depend on Him. I failed you. And listen, don't be ashamed. There's not a one of us in this building that hadn't failed Him, including this preacher up here. But let me assure you that Jesus loves you. And let me assure you, He died for you. And as an act of obedience, if you feel led, I want you to just come. And Pastor Ron's going to pray a blanket prayer over you.